Columbia Broadcasting System, in cooperation with the United States Army and United States Air Force Recruiting Service, presents the new Mr. Ace and Jane program, a weekly half-hour comedy series starring radio's original comedy couple, the Aces. Once again, the strains of Manhattan Serenade introduce the story of Mr. Ace and his wife, Jane. Before we join Mr. Ace and Jane, I'd like to get in a word about the men who have already joined our Army or our Air Force. You know, I like to talk about these young Americans because they're men we can be proud of. They're doing the most important job there is, keeping this nation safe and at peace. At the same time, they've done themselves a big favor, for they're really going places, advancing their own careers and ensuring their lifetime security. That's a mighty good combination, isn't it? Yes, sir, when a young man chooses the Army or the Air Force, he's making a wise choice, both for himself and his country. And now, Mr. Ace, what were you about to say?
The Constitution of the United States says that every man is entitled to a trial by jury of his peers. Peers. Funk and Wagnalls, in their latest bestseller entitled Dictionary, have this definition of a peer.
A peer is a person of equal intellect, knowledge, understanding, and intelligence.
Thank you, Mr. Funk.
I'm Wagnall.
Oh, I'm sorry. Equal intellect and intelligence. Now, with that definition in mind, it becomes quite obvious that the jury people selected Jane Ace alphabetically. But don't get the wrong idea. As a housewife, Jane has no equal. She's a human dynamo.
As a housewife, I have no equal. I'm a human domino.
I should know. After all, she is my lawful wedded wife.
He should know. After all, I am his awful wedded wife.
But she's never even seen the inside of a courtroom.
I saw the Paradine case 3 times.
The summons for jury duty arrived as we were having breakfast, and Jane, of course, was quite excited about it.
But, dear, I didn't do it. I'm not guilty. I've got an alibi. Who saw me? I only hit the gun machine once. No gun came out.
Oh, Jane, will you stop? This is only a summons to serve on a jury. Somebody else is on trial, not you. Fine juror you're going to make.
But I've never jured.
Jured, yeah.
How did they happen to think of me?
Oh, just lucky, I guess. You get $3 a day, you know.
$3 a day?
Yeah.
No kidding. Well, what do I have to do?
All you have to do is sit in a jury box and listen to the evidence with an open mind. That's all.
Oh, well, I've got an open mind.
Yes, they needed you like a hole in the head.
Oh, that must be Paul.
I need him that way, too.
I'll let him in, dear.
While Jane goes to let in her brother, Paul Sherwood, I ought to tell you something about him. Paul is in the construction business. Right now, he's overseeing a big project at 45th and 1st Avenue, the new United Nations building. His office is a third peephole from the left, overlooking the steam shovel. Another thing he overlooks is getting a job. He thinks working for a living is for peasants. He hopes to make his fortune with one stroke of genius.
I hope to make my fortune with one stroke of genius.
He spends most of his time playing cards.
I spend most of my time playing cards.
That's why he's never reached the pinnacle of success.
I'm a success at pinnacle.
Okay, now you've met him. You can have him. Jane's opening the door to let him in.
Good morning, sis.
Just fine.
Hiya, brother. Oh, don't get up.
Who's getting up?
I just happened to be passing by on my way down.
No, not that same routine again. Paul, we know you always happen to be passing at breakfast time. Just sit down and eat.
Oh, thanks. Yeah.
Paul, what do you think? I'm gonna jure.
You're what?
Juring.
Make that a big orange juice, will you, Jane? I got a big day ahead of me.
Big day. What's going on today? Blasting?
Huh? Oh, no, we're through blasting.
I'm glad.
But the excavating's been held up by the mud. We couldn't get the trucks in and out.
We couldn't.
Had a lot of excitement around there the past week.
I'll bet.
There was a truck pulling out.
Oh, don't you want to hear about my juring?
Oh, yes, sis. What's going on?
I'm
going
to be on a jury at $3 a day.
$3 a day. Can the state afford that? Pass the eggs, Jane.
Help yourself, Paul.
$3 measly a day. So you're on a jury 2 weeks, you wind up with a measly $30. That kills me.
Paul, have you got change for a quarter?
Change? No, no,
well, never mind. I gotta get going. Jane, I'll call you. Huh?
Yes, you call me, dear. I'll let you know how I'm doing a jury. Call me at the courthouse about noon.
Oh, sure. The judge will run down to the candy store and take a message. Jane weighed in on the scales of justice at 105, wearing purple trunks and an off-the-face hat. In the other corner, wearing a black robe, her very capable opponent, the judge, at 178. That's blood pressure. The first day's court procedure went something like this.
The clerk will call the next name. Let's impanel this jury and get on with the case. How many more do we need, clerk?
One more, Your Honor.
Well, call the next name.
Mr. Whitley, step into the jury box, please.
Yes, sir.
Now, Mr. Brown, as counsel for the plaintiff, will you question this last one briefly, please?
I'll try, Your Honor. Mr. Whitley, is that your name?
That's me.
You're acquainted with the nature of this case by now, I presume?
Yes, sir. Automobile accident.
That's right. Mr. Whitley, is there any reason you cannot give a fair decision in this trial?
I should say I can give a fair decision. I've been waiting for a chance like this. 2 years ago, one of them trucks backed into me, and I didn't collect a cent. Now I've got a
you're
chance.
You're excused.
What?
I said you're excused.
But I...
Hey, you won't sue.
Mr. Whitley, step down. Clerk, call the next name.
Mrs. Jane Ace, please.
It's about time you got to me. I get up at the crank of dawn. I have to sit around.
Madam, stop that muttering. Step into the jury box.
Seat 12, Mrs. Ace.
Oh, right on the aisle. That's nice.
Mrs. Ace, is that your name?
I do.
What did you say?
I said I do.
You do what? Put your hand down.
Don't you have to hold up your right hand?
I said put your hand down and sit down.
Yes, sir.
Mrs. Ace, I'm Mr. Brown, counsel for the plaintiff.
How do you do?
Mrs. Ace, is there any reason you can't give a fair decision in this trial?
Oh, no, Mr. Brown.
Good. Now,
What's the trial about? I was sitting so far back there I couldn't see exactly what was going
look,
on.
Look, this is an action involving damages in a collision between a truck backing out of the passageway and crashing into the plaintiff's car.
My goodness, was he hurt?
Was he hurt?
We'll discuss the details in the course of the trial. Get to the point.
Mrs. Ace, have you ever been in an automobile accident?
Oh, no, not Wood.
That's good enough for me. If the court please, the jury is satisfactory to me.
Good. It's about time. Is the jury satisfactory to counsel for the defendant?
Yes, it is, Your Honor.
You are Miss Baker, aren't you?
Yes, Your Honor. I represent the defendant. The jury is satisfactory to me.
Very well. We'll proceed with the case. Counsel for the defendant... Counsel for the... Will juror number 12 kindly lower her hand and stop snapping her fingers at the court?
But, Judge, I wanted to ask you something. I'm expecting a phone call from my husband. So he called
me. Phone call?
Yes, he said he'd call me here to see how I made out. So will you call me? I'll be sitting right here.
Now, Mrs. A. What is that name?
Mrs. Ace. My husband is Mr. Ace.
Well, Mrs. Ace, the court will not permit you to receive personal communications interfering with the orderly conduct of this trial. The court will not tolerate any such action.
Well, you're the judge here. Couldn't you ask the court to call me?
I am the court.
You are the court.
I am. Sit down.
I thought this room was the court. In the Paradine case, which I...
Did you hear me tell you to sit down?
But if a person can't get a phone
Mrs.
call...
Mrs. Ace, do you realize there is a $10,000 law action about to take place here?
Yes, but I told my husband to call me here.
Please, the court.
What is it, Miss Baker?
Your Honor, if this juror is going to sit through this trial, her mind occupied with the ringing of a phone bell...
There will be no phone bells in this courtroom.
But, Judge...
Sit down.
Oh, all right.
Well, I call into the phone. This is a court of law. I've been on the bench for 35 years. I've never heard of such a request. It's either insolence or downright ignorance. And before you're finished in this courtroom, Mrs. Ace, you will at least have absorbed some of the decorum congruous to judicial dignity.
How was that again, please?
Your Honor, as counsel for the plaintiff, I would like to open my case.
No, you would.
Your Honor, I asked for a recess. Defendant is trying to locate a surprise witness.
Telephone call, surprise witnesses. You people see too many movies. The court is in no mood to hear this case now. But But before adjourning for the day, I wish to instruct the jury not to discuss this case among themselves or by telephone. I mean among themselves or with anyone else. The jury will phone me tomorrow. That is, the jury will report tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, and I expect every juror to be in the phone booth ready to... Use the jury box. Oh, what's the use? Court is adjourned.
That was Jane's first day in court. Oh, well, another day, another $3. Thank you, Governor Dewey. That night after dinner at home, I tried to get Jane to tell me all the dope on the case. But the dope on the case had another problem. She was...
$3 a day times 280 days to Christmas, that would be...
Jane, you don't think the trial is going to last to Christmas, do you?
It might, the way that judge picks on everything that comes up.
For instance?
Yeah.
What?
3 times 280 days...
That's going to come to a lot of money, Jane.
Oh, it's nothing compared to what she's going to get. She's suing for $10,000 in an automobile accident.
Who's she?
Miss Baker, I think her name is.
Miss Baker.
She doesn't seem to have been hurt very much, though. Oh, she's very attractive. Tall, red hair, no nail polish.
Jane, I still don't quite get the case. This Miss Baker was driving her car and a truck ran into her. Who's her lawyer?
Mr. Brown, I think.
You think?
Dear, the judge told us not to talk about the case to anybody or on the phone.
What's that?
Look, dear, if you want to know more about it, come down to the court and watch me juror.
I might at that.
They have a studio audience.
They have.
Don't ask the judge for any phone calls.
Phone calls?
I did. He blew up higher than a hawk.
Jane, you mean you asked the judge?
Dear, please. While I'm on this jury, I can't talk. Just be good enough to say hello, Jane, and that's all.
Just hello, Jane.
Yes, just those three words. Hello, Jane.
Three words. The next morning before I left the house, Jane made me promise to come down to watch her juror. And I left her with three words. Bonjour, Jane. She picked up a free ride downtown that morning from our next door neighbor, Ken Roberts. He's the radio announcer. Anyone who has a radio has heard him spouting commercials like,
ladies, when you shop at a Greenlow store, you can shop with confidence. Or better still, have one of our confidence men come to your home.
He makes all sorts of guarantees.
If you're not satisfied with a Greenlow product, you can get triple your money back by writing to the Greenlow Company, Newark, New Jersey, Post Office Box 27. I'll repeat that address. The Greenlow Company, Dallas, Texas, Post Office Box 10.
As Ken was getting into his car, he saw Jane leaving the house for court. That is, I thought it was for court. I didn't know a new complication had set in.
Hey, Jane, what have you been doing?
Just fine, Ken.
Well, how are you?
Oh, I've been serving on a jury. I'm going downtown now.
Well, I'm driving downtown, Jane.
Oh, I'll be glad to. Thanks, Ken.
Hop right in. Jane, which courthouse are you going to?
Well, I'm not going right to the courthouse. I have an appointment at the hairdresser this morning, and I asked Sally to take my place on the jury in case I'm a little late.
Sally?
My cousin, Sally Anderson.
Oh, yes, Mr. Ace's secretary.
I just have to get to a beauty shop. My goodness, yesterday I looked like the wrath of grapes next to that Miss Baker.
Well, there's nothing wrong with the way you look today, Jane.
You do? Well, thanks, Ken. I don't suppose they mind if Sally fills in for me for a few minutes, does it to you?
Same thing happened to me yesterday, Jane. I had this commercial to read, and I couldn't make it, so I got a stand-in. What's the case about, Jane?
Well, we're not allowed to indulge that information, Ken. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay, Jane. I understand. Let's talk about something else. How'd you like to listen to me rehearse this commercial I'm doing on a show today?
Well, I could tell you a little about the case if you insist.
Oh, no, Jane, that wouldn't be right. Besides, this commercial has an exciting bit of news. There are now two very interesting offers that deserve serious consideration by every veteran of World War II. First, if you're a technically skilled veteran, you may re-enlist in the United States Army in grade, depending on your experience and length of service.
This is my first experience on a jury.
Secondly, if you're a veteran who has served overseas since September 2nd, 1945, you may now enlist directly in a unit of your choice, presently located in the United States, What a deal that is.
3 hours a day for juring isn't a bad deal.
If you're a qualified veteran, you have your choice of any one of the 8 divisions presently located in this country, and you're given a good grade. That means good pay, security, the opportunity for advancement, and a permanent future.
I wish I had time for a permanent.
When you visit your nearest recruiting office to check on these 2 great deals for veterans, I think you'll find that today's Army job is a better bet than the average civilian job. And you'll win the respect of all America by being part of our new regular Army, helping to keep this country safe and at peace.
Oh, here we are, Ken. Stop the car. Why we got here quick? It usually takes me half an hour on the subway, and you made it in 1 commercial.
If I were a nice guy, I'd spare you this next courtroom scene entirely. But I'm slightly sadistic. Radio translation, I'm a heel. I will warn you, though, to move back a little from your radios, because when Judge Edwards gets a load of Jane's substitute in the jury box, I wouldn't want any of it to get on you.
All right, we'll proceed to the case on trial. Counsel for the plaintiff will open the case. Are you ready?
Thank you, Judge Edwards, I am.
Wait, just a minute. Who are you? I thought Mr. Brown was counsel for the plaintiff.
I'm Mr. Jenkins, Mr. Brown's partner. We're both handling this case.
Oh, you are. All right. Proceed.
Thank you, Judge Edwards. And if it please the court, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the plaintiff in this case, Thomas Mason, is suing the defendant for injuries received from a truck loaded with brick and dirt backing out of a building project without an attendant to flag passing motorists. You will learn in the course of this trial that the injuries received by the plaintiff were so serious as to cause his physician to despair of his complete recovery.
Okay, what Sally, I'm here.
Oh, hello, Jane.
Am I very late?
Oh, no, Jane. That man over there just got it.
What's going on back there?
It's all right, Judge. It's only me. I'm back.
Back?
Yes. I let my cousin Sally jure in my place while I went to the beauty shop.
What?
Okay, Sally, I'll sit in there now. You can sit out there and watch if you like.
Kind of dull case, Jane.
Mrs. H., what is the meaning of this?
Well, like I told you, Mr. Edwards.
Mr. Edwards? I am Judge William Edwards. You will never refer to me as Mr. Edwards.
Well, thank you, William, and you may call me...
Silence! Order! Quiet! Stop that laughing! I will not tolerate these outbursts in my court. I will clear this courtroom if this continues. Now, Mrs. H.
Yes?
Yes, Your Honor!
Yes, my honor.
Order! Order in the court! Did you hear me say I'd clear the courtroom if there is another outburst?
Your Honor, I move for a mistrial.
Oh, you do, Miss Baker. Well, I say there will be no mistrial. Sit down. And you too, Mrs. H. Sit down.
So long, Jane. Your hair looks wonderful. Too good for this trial.
Silence! Stop that chattering. Let's get on with this case. Mr. Jenkins, counsel for the plaintiff will proceed.
Yes, Your Honor. As I was saying, ladies and gentlemen of the jury...
Mr. Jenkins, I thought Mr. Brown was the lawyer.
What was that? What did she say?
I said I thought Mr. Brown was the lawyer. Is Mr. Jenkins the surprise witness we've been waiting for?
Now, look, madam, if you had been here when court opened, you would have been apprised of the fact that Mr. Jenkins and Mr. Brown are handling this case.
Yes, Mrs. Ace, you see, Mr. Brown and I are partners in law.
Partners in law. Oh, that's cute. You both married sisters, huh?
Order! Order! That does it. I warned you first.
Yes, Your Honor.
Clear this court of all spectators. Everybody out! Get everybody out of this court!
All right, all right. Everybody out. Come on, clear the court.
I warned you people. I'll show you that I mean sisters. Everybody out! And I mean everybody.
Come on, come on. Out you go. Step lively. Sorry. No. That's it. That's it. Okay, Your Honor. They're all out.
Now we'll see if we can get some decorum here. Mr. Jenkins, proceed.
Yes, Your Honor. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, as I pointed out, the defendant in this... The defendant in...
Well, go on. What's the matter with you?
But, Your Honor, there are only 11 jurors in the box.
Wait, 11 jurors? Where is she? Clerk!
Yes, Your Honor.
Find that woman! Bring her back here, hunt for her, and keep hunting until you do find her.
This, I am happy to say, I was spared. I had decided to come watch Jane Jure later that afternoon. The next scene of this gruesome little story takes place a few minutes later in a courtroom upstairs from Judge Edwards. Another trial by jury is taking place.
Counsel will proceed with the witness.
Thank you, Judge Morley. Now, Miss Delmore, I want to ask you to look at this letter. Do you recognize the handwriting?
I do.
Whose handwriting is it?
Mine.
Louder, please, so the jury can hear you, Miss Delmore.
Yes, the witness will be a little more distinct. Counsel will put the question again.
Whose handwriting is it, Miss Delmore?
I said it was mine. Did you hear that?
Thank you, Miss Delmore. I shall now read it. My darling, perfect man, I'll be there again tonight, waiting, waiting. Will you ever come to me? Signed, Irene. Mr. Pullman, would you read this and pass it along to the jury, please? And as you read it, ladies and gentlemen, kindly keep in mind that this letter was written by a woman who says she loved her husband.
I do love my husband.
Of course you do. I just told the jury you do. You said you did, and we have your word for it. Of course, the letter which the jury is now reading was... Oh, have you all finished with it? Oh, thank you. Have you all read this?
I haven't read it.
Oh. Oh, I beg your pardon, Adams. Mr. Foreman, would you please pass this back to juror number...
Well, what is it? What's holding things up down there?
Your Honor, there are 13 jurors in the box.
What's that? 13 jurors?
The lady sitting on the back rail there.
What? Madam, how did you get in here? Are you a juror?
Yes, I am.
What seat do you occupy in the box?
Oh, no seat. It was crowded, so I sat up on this railing back here.
I move for a mistrial.
Motion denied. And I want this courtroom quiet or I'll clear everybody out of the room.
Oh, now, don't you start that, too. Judge Edwards chased me out of his jury.
What's that?
I was jurying downstairs and they chased us all out.
Madam, get out of that jury box and get right down to Judge Edwards' court.
Oh, I don't like that case down there. It's just an old automobile accident. Would somebody in this jury like to swap cases? I'll juror here if somebody else will juror downstairs.
Juror! Another word out of you, madam, and you'll be held in contempt of two courts at the same time. Two courts. I never even heard of that. More new things happening these days. Get downstairs to that other court, you hear me?
While Jane was wandering around the halls of justice shopping for a spicy L'Amour to jure, her stand-in, Miss Anderson, had come back to my office and explained why she was late. By the time Miss Anderson got to the part where Jane had called the judge, William, I was in a cab on my way down to the courthouse with $10,000 bail money, which I happened to have in my pocket at the time.
Well, Judge Edwards, I'm back again.
What?
And I can't say I'm too happy to be back here. There's a much more interesting case going on upstairs.
Mrs. Ace!
Yes?
Yes, Your Honor!
Yes, my Honor.
Now, you stop that. I won't have it. Now, how dare you walk out of that jury box?
Well, when you said everybody out, I was under the impersonation you meant me to.
Impersonation?
So I went upstairs. What a letter they read up there. You don't have any letters down here. What you need down here is love interest.
Oh, Your Honor, may I interrupt?
You may not, Miss Baker.
But I only wanted to say that the defendant's surprise witness has arrived, and we're ready to proceed with the case.
Oh, a surprise witness. Well, maybe this will get more interesting now.
Mrs. Ace, you try my patience.
All right.
Get back there in that jury box.
Yes, sir.
And I warn you, one more word out of you and I'll throw the book at you.
You might hit an innocent bystander, Judge.
Sit down. I warned you. Now just sit down there.
I'm sitting.
Now bring on this so-called surprise witness. More movie stuff. All right, call the witness.
I call Paul Sherwood to the stand.
Paul Sherwood, take the stand.
Paul Sherwood?
Mrs. Ace, I warned you.
But, Judge, Paul Sherwood is my...
Quiet! Miss Baker, you may question your witness.
Mr. Sherwood, where were you on the morning of December 16th?
Well, I was down at the place, our excavation on 45th Street. And when this truck backed out, the man who usually flags it wasn't there. I remember that distinctly.
How do you remember that so distinctly?
Well, this particular morning, I was late getting up there, you see. and somebody else was standing at my peephole because I had breakfast with my sisters and the toaster wasn't working.
Oh, I remember that morning.
Mrs. Ace, that does it.
But, Judge, the witness is my brother.
I don't care if he's your brother.
Brother!
Your Honor, I move for a mistrial.
Oh, yes? Well, before we do that, I'm going to make an example of that woman.
Your Honor, may I say a word here?
What?
Dear, you here too?
Who is this man? How did he get here?
I'm her husband, Your Honor.
Oh, so you're her husband, huh? Well, I fine you $50.
For what?
For being her husband.
Oh,
and I hereby declare this case a mistrial, and it's all because of this woman, Mrs. Ace, who should never be allowed in a jury box again. And if I had my way, she would never even be allowed to vote. Because this will go down in the records of jurisprudence as the most ridiculous mistrial of 1948. Do you understand that, Mrs. Ace?
Yes, sir. I've just been voted mistrial of 1948.
God bless you.
In just a moment, I'll give you the title of Chapter 6 in the story of Mr. Ace and Jane. Did you know that during the past year, enlistment standards have been raised to the highest requirements in our Army and our Air Force history? Yes, the average soldier and airman now scores 20% higher than the minimum standards for acceptance a year ago, and more than twice as high as the wartime requirements. In fact, only 60% of those applying for enlistment can be accepted under these new high standards. For a young man who does measure up, the Army or the Air Force is a mighty good bet. And it's my bet that a visit to the nearest recruiting office will prove to any qualified young man that there's an Army or an Air Force career tailor-made for him. Mr. Ace and Jane will bring you Chapter 6, entitled, Jane Asks Mr. Ace to Buy Her a Mink Coat, and when she tells him how much it would cost, Mr. Ace replies it would be cheaper to go to Florida, and Jane says she's interested in a coat of mink, not a coat of tan, and she promises she'll save money by cutting down on other things. Or, as Mr. Ace puts it,
how I gave up smoking for 75 years. Good night.
Me too.
Script for tonight was written by Goodman Ace. Original music conducted by Morris Sitton. In the supporting cast were Everett Sloan as Judge Edwards, Edgar Staley as Judge Morley, Leon Janney as Brother Paul, Ann Summers as Miss Baker, Frank Butler, Sandy Bickert, and Gavin Gordon as the lawyers, Florence Robinson as Miss Anderson, Michael Abbott as Mr. Whitley, Joe Carroll Dennison as Miss Delmar, Cliff Hall as Clerk of the Court. And this is Ken Roberts announcing that you may hear Mr. Ace and Jane next week at this same time over this same station. This is CBS, Columbia.